Good morning and welcome to the program. We appreciate your tuning in today, and it's such a joy to have you listening. We hope that you have your Bible ready because we're going to be turning to the book of Acts today, and we're going to start in Acts chapter 14, and we'll also look at Acts chapter 17. Now, we're looking at this question: how can we see our way clearly in a world of confusion, where people are doubting basic morals, where people are questioning the Bible, where people are even questioning whether God exists? How can we see our way clear? Well, we're going back to the foundations. We're strengthening the fundamentals. We're trying to go back to these basics as far as Christian doctrine is concerned, and we're reinforcing that foundation by considering these things on the broadcast. Now, the first thing that we're looking at in that foundation is the very important question, does God exist? Would you like to believe in God more? Would you like to have stronger faith? Well, what we're beginning to see this week is that if you want more faith in God, the Bible tells us to consider the creation, to look into nature itself. Psalm 19, verse 1 says, "The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament shows His handiwork." So if you want to see God's existence, if you want to see the power and the glory of God, and to be thrilled with that, and to be strengthened by that, then look up. Day or night, either one, the Bible says, you just look up and you think about how those things got there and how this world exists. It's only by the power of God that these things are and that these things are sustained. You know, there's something that's amazing in our world today, and that is that there are people that are nature lovers. They love to look at the creation of God. They love to look at the flowers, at the birds, at the mountains, at the seas, at the stars. They just love spending their time, and to many people, this is a hobby, to look at these things in nature. But isn't it amazing that these same people, oftentimes who are nature lovers, don't really love God? They're really not interested in God. They really don't even consider the fact that God gave these things. If they do, it's kind of a sideline. It's something that they tack on to the end, but it's not something that's front and center as far as they're concerned. Well, we don't want to go down that path. We don't want to be people who love nature for nature's sake itself. We want to be people who consider the creation, and every time that we look into the creation, we think of God. We think of God's power. We think of God's goodness. We think of God's glory, and we think of God's love. And we're going to look at two passages this morning that tell us to do that. Acts chapter 14. In Acts chapter 14, you'll find that Paul and Barnabas go into the city of Lystra, and they heal a crippled man. Well, these people in the city of Lystra are superstitious. And the Bible shows us that they believed in some of these Greek gods. So when Paul and Barnabas came in and performed this miracle, the scriptures say that they started to worship Paul and Barnabas and even said that they were Greek gods. Well, when that happened, the Bible says that in verse 14, that Paul and Barnabas rent their clothes. They tore their clothes and ran in among the people crying out. Now, again, who are these people that Paul and Barnabas are talking to? They're not Jews. They're not people who are acquainted with the Bible of the Old Testament. These are superstitious, idolatrous Gentiles. Now, how is he going to address them? Is he going to quote a scripture? Is he going to say you shouldn't do that because the Old Testament says not to? No, these are not people that have the Old Testament at this point. At least, for the most part, they're not. So what law is he going to appeal to? What kind of common ground is he going to try to strike here? Well, in verse 15, he tells us, Paul and Barnabas said, "Sirs, why do you these things? We also are men of like passions with you, and preach unto you that you should turn from these vanities unto the living God, which made heaven and earth and the sea and all things that are therein." So what does Paul do? He says, you need to turn to God, because God is the one who made the heaven, He made the earth, He made the sea, and everything that's in it. In verse 16, who in time past suffered all nations to walk in their own ways, nevertheless, he left not himself without witness. Now let those words sink in for just a minute. God is in heaven, and we can't see him with our eyes. We can't hear him with our ears. We can't feel him or touch him. But can we know that God is? Does that mean, does the fact that we can't see or hear or touch God mean that we don't have any testimony from God? That we don't have any witness from God? Not at all. Paul said that God did not leave himself without witness or without testimony. He didn't leave us out in the dark, folks. He left us with solid evidence, in that he did good and gave us rain from heaven and fruitful seasons, filling our hearts with food and gladness. Now, you can't get any more simple than that, folks. And you can't get any more powerful and profound than that. Paul says that the goodness of God is shown in the creation. The Bible shows that God is a good God. And how does God do that? It's very, very simple. God gives us rain, and he gives us fruitful seasons. God gives us rain. The rain causes the ground to produce, to bring forth fruit, and that gives us food. And because of that, the Bible says we can know that God is. So Paul is telling these Gentiles, who are superstitious, idolatrous, and some people would say that they're ignorant as far as spiritual truth is concerned, Paul is telling them that if they want to see the true God, all they have to do is to look into nature. Where does the rain come from? Somebody says, well, it comes from the clouds. But where did the clouds come from? You see, all these things have to have a cause. All these things have to have an origin. They have to have a designer. And this is what Paul is appealing to here in Acts chapter 14, verse 17. Let's read it again, that God did not leave himself without witness, in that he did good and gave us rain from heaven and fruitful seasons, filling our hearts with food and with gladness. Now let's turn over to Acts chapter 17, because here we find another great example of Paul pointing to nature, of Paul pointing to the creation, to show people that God is and to show people what kind of God he is. Acts chapter 17. Now here, beginning in verse 16, we find Paul at Athens. Now remember that Athens was an intellectual center. It had been for centuries. This is where the philosophers gathered. This is where the great minds of the day come together to debate and to discuss what they consider to be the most important questions of their time. And so the Bible tells us in verse 18 of Acts chapter 17 that there were two groups or two schools of philosophers there. There were the Epicureans and the Stoics. Now, the Epicureans were followers of one Epicurus. He was born in 342 BC. This man was a materialist. He didn't believe in anything spiritual. He believed that all that exists is material or physical. So he didn't believe in life after death at all. The Stoics were people who believed in an impersonal God. They didn't believe in a personal God at all. And because of that, Paul has conflict with these two schools of thought. So the Bible tells us in verse 22 that Paul begins to preach to them, and he talks about how that they have this altar to the unknown God in verse 23. And he said, I want to talk to you about who the unknown God really is. He says, the God that you ought to be worshiping is really the unknown God to you, but he shouldn't be at all. He says in verse 24, God that made the world and all things therein. You know, sometimes people say that the Bible doesn't go about to prove that God is. It just presupposes that God is and then builds on it from there. And that is true. The Bible does not go into a great deal of detail at all to prove that God exists. That's because nature itself shows it. So when a person says today, well, you know, I don't really study the Bible, so I'm not sure if there's a God at all. Well, there's no excuse for a man to say that because he has nature itself. So even if people today are ignorant of the Bible, even if they have not read Genesis 1, verse 1, in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth, even if they don't know that verse, even if they've never opened the Bible, they still ought to know that God exists according to these verses that we're looking at. So this is what Paul appeals to here. He doesn't go into a long, complicated argument to try to convince these people. He simply says that God made this world. God that made the world and all things therein, seeing that he is Lord of heaven and earth, dwells not in temples made with hands, neither is worshipped with men's hands, as though he needed anything, seeing he giveth to all life and breath and all things, and has made of one blood all nations of men for to dwell on all the face of the earth, and has determined the times before appointed, and the bounds of their habitation, that they should seek the Lord, if haply they might feel after him and find him, though he be not far from every one of us. For in him we live and move and have our being, as certain also of your own poets have said, for we are also his offspring. Your own poets, your own writers, have acknowledged that we are the creation or the offspring of God. Now, there are actually a couple of Greek poets that he might be referring to here. One of them was Cleanthes, a Stoic, who wrote, O God most glorious, called by many a name, we are thy children, we alone of all. He lived from 331 to about 233 BC. Another one was named Aratus. He said essentially the same thing around 270 BC. So Paul said, when you look into nature, you can see the power and the glory of God. And your own writers have acknowledged that. So he said there shouldn't be a question about whether God exists or not. So friends, here we have it again. The Bible is showing us in Acts chapter 14 and Acts chapter 17 that people today can still look into nature and know that God exists. Now, that condemns some people because they use the excuse that they don't really know, that they're not really sure. And God says, I have given you enough in the creation to know that I am. But the positive side of that is this, that we have in the creation a constant source of strength, a constant source of verification, a constant source of encouragement in this time in which we live. From day to day, folks, our faith is challenged. And the devil tries to place doubts in our minds. He tries to distract us from even thinking about God. And what we need to do is to set our minds on viewing this vast creation of God and thinking about the kind of God that produced these things and the kind of God that maintains these things. So if you sometimes have doubts, if sometimes things are not clear, if you're confused about what life really is all about why we're here and where we're headed and whether there is a God, look into the creation of God, behold the glory of God and the power of God in this vast creation. And if you're sincere and if you're honest, you are going to be edified and you're going to be strengthened in your foundation. Well, thank you for tuning in today. It's been a joy to study with you, and we hope that you have a great rest of the day.